Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to give God the glory. I don't want to be found not giving his name praise, not giving his name honor that is due his name. Hallelujah. We are just so happy to be here today. And welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God the glory. We're here to give God the honor. And he is so worthy. Oh. Hallelujah.
Share a secret.
Okay, I'm having a little problem with my computer.
I love life.
But we will go on. Babe, how are you doing today?
All over the world. We'll do anything you ask.
Man, I'm doing very well. Just
blessed.
Glad to be with the number today. Just glad to be a part of this broadcast. Looking forward to hearing again what God has done, because over and over and over and over again, he just amazes us, especially when we hear just how he's blessing his people. And it's such an encouragement and such a hope that we know that God's got our back, he's got our front, he's just got us covered under his wings. And we just thank God for today and looking forward to the show. Amen.
Amen, amen. We have a dear friend that's coming on, and we were talking yesterday and reminiscing about some old times and just thanking God that he accepted our invitation to come on and give a testimony of what God is doing in his life. And God has done some extraordinary things in his life, and we just want to give God the glory. And we just want to remind you and invite you to tune in every day at this same number, 858-683-1334, to listen to New Destiny Ministries, where Evangelist Adrienne Bernard is the host. And she's here every day, Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, or 4 o'clock Eastern time. And let me add Mountain time, because that's where our guest is calling from today, and it would be 2 o'clock Mountain time. So tune in, and Evangelist Bernard has some awesome men and women of God that come on and give expounding and just lifting up the name of Jesus, and we're just so thankful for her opening up this opportunity for this ministry, They Overcame. She's graciously given us her Saturday slot, and we're here every Saturday. So join us and with your testimony, with your praise report. If you have a prayer request, you can call us also. And if you choose not to give your testimony, if you have an urgent prayer request that you have over the week when we're not here, you can also send those to They Overcame 2013 at gmail.com. That's our email address. It's theyovercame2013@gmail.com. And babe, it's just, I was talking to our guest yesterday and reminded myself when I said it that we've been on the air for almost 2 years now. It's going on 2 years. We're on the downside of sliding into our second year of doing this broadcast, and it has been such a blessing to hear of all the wonderful, awesome things that God is doing for his people. So we're thanking God, hallelujah, for just being able to host this broadcast. And we are your host, Albert Burns and Minister Billy Burns. We are your guests for They Overcame. And before we get any farther, babe, would you please open us up with prayer. And while you're doing that, I want to say I see two numbers that could be our host, and I'm not exactly sure which one is he. So please give me, text me, and let me know which number is yours, Dr. Granger. Okay, babe.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just trust you and I praise you. And we worship you, Lord God, and give you honor and adoration because you are worthy. Father, there's none like you in all of heaven and all of earth. Father, there's none like you that we can even compare with your goodness because you are just so great. You've been so faithful, Lord God. You brought us through every situation, every turmoil, every test, hallelujah, every danger, every weapon of the enemy. You have just been our stay. You've been our rock. You've been our hiding place. You've been our provider. You've been our everything, our all in all. And we just look to you right now, Lord God, to say thank you, to say, Lord God, that we love you. Lord God, to say that we just appreciate your faithfulness and your attentiveness to us. Because if it had not been for you on our side, Father, where would we be? We would be lost. Our minds would be gone. We'd be in the grave. Hallelujah. We live a life that is not pleasing to you. But, Father, you, by your infinite grace and mercy, have kept us. You called us into your fold. You keep us day by day. Hallelujah. Even those times that we turn from you, you draw us back. God, you're just so good. God, you're just so awesome. Father, we worship you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for what our ears are about to hear. We pray that these words will be ministry, healing, encouragement, life, hope, hallelujah, to those in need. Father, let someone who you have ordained tune into this broadcast today. Cause them to pick up the phone. Cause them to stumble into us on the internet. Guide them into our broadcast. Even if not today, through the archives, let word of mouth even go out, Lord God, that some will have to tune in later and hear these words, words of deliverance. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray your blessings upon this broadcast and our hosts, our overall hosts, Evangelist Bernard, Lord God, continue to bless her in her ministry and this ministry, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Lord God, all these things, healing, deliverance, hope, hallelujah, salvation, that some will even turn to you because of what they've heard today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We were having a little difficulty with my computer. So, anyway, we're just thanking God for making a way out of no way. And, Daisy, do you have the board up?
Yes, I do. Which number do we need to turn on?
I'm not exactly sure. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not exactly sure.
It's on.
Well, we just want to, it's over the internet, over the phone, so I can still talk. But I am just so happy that our guest, I talked with him yesterday, and like I said, we were catching up on a lot of things and just some miraculous things that God has done in this young man's life. And we're so very proud of him and the accomplishments that he's made. And, you know, the one thing that I just been talking with him yesterday was so related to hear that he has risen to the status, gone through school and risen to the status of doctor, Dr. Nathaniel Granger. And this is one of the brothers from our home church, well, my home church, and my husband's home church. Once we got married, we always enjoyed him. And he was one that did not miss testimony service himself. And he reminded me of his favorite scripture on yesterday. And he says, it's just a blessing. God is doing some miraculous things in his life. He's traveled all over the world in the armed services, and he, in his endeavors, he's married. Of course, he married someone from home. Hallelujah! He's married, and he has three lovely children, and everybody is doing well, and I'm just so excited that he accepted our invitation to come on, and I'm going to bring him on, Dr. Nathaniel Granger. Are you there? Are you there,
yes,
Dr. Granger?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you. It's such a blessing. When I told him yesterday what time the broadcast started, he said he's up at that time, but not really functioning fully. And I told him I knew what he meant. The alarm clock doesn't have to wake me up, but my husband has to wake me up today. But usually, the alarm clock doesn't have to wake me up. The Lord wakes me up. I'm, you know, just so happy to hear the testimonies and just what people want to say about the Lord. And I tell people all the time that no testimony is too big nor too small to come on the air and just let the world know. I remember we were reminiscing about being at home and our testimony service, which inspired me for this broadcast. And he was saying, yes, how could he ever forget those testimony services that we used to have, talking about fire. Oh, my God. Dr. Granger.
Yes, 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 Billy. I am very excited. I'm excited about your broadcast and what God has done in your life and Brother Burns' life and just to see that we are yet holding on. And mm-hmm. and I can truthfully say God has brought us a mighty long way, and it's hard to believe that it's been I want to say several decades, but if I do that I would be given our age. I would be telling our age, but it's been several decades that we've been walking with the Lord, and I remember back in those days in Chicago in that church on you know 1401 South Vincennes Avenue, Morgan Park. I remember those days so vividly, and how those days impacted my life, and I wouldn't change those days if I could. But I'm so glad, you know, the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. I'm just so excited that looking back, I had no idea how those days of testifying would ultimately be the substratum upon which my life is predicated upon today. And It is just so amazing to me how we were taught back then how to follow God, and that was a blessing. were to follow God with all of our might and with all of our heart and with all of our strength. But one thing I've come to find out that it's more to it than just following God. Down through the years, I've learned to walk with God. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit." And it talks about following God. You know, I remember we weren't really taught how to walk with God. We were taught where not to walk. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we were taught all the things, what not to do. But it is such a blessing to know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that liberty comes with walking with the Lord. And so when I looked at that verse, and even in Leviticus, where it talks about following God's decrees, and in the original Hebrew, it talks about that verse literally reads that if you walk in my decrees, and it makes me question, based on Scripture, how do we really walk with God? What does it take to walk with Him? I will not downplay the importance of studying God's Word and to walking upright. But I look back over my life and I remember feeling so guilty, just struggling along the way, because if I thought the wrong thing and if I slipped and I was afraid, I was just so afraid of going to hell, and but I've come to realize that God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Oh yeah.
But of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that is one verse that I have to admit, I did not understand that verse many years ago. I did not understand what it meant to not be given the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that understanding came not so much with following God, but with walking with Him. And I like to just equate it just really with my relationship with my wife. We've been married now 26 years. And if you saw my face, you would say that God has truly been good, because I know that we don't look like what we've been through. And having been married 26 years, and if you don't mind me saying, I look probably at maybe about 27 or 28, which is an indicator of God's goodness. Or Arita and I must have gotten married when we were around 3 years old. Yeah, but God has truly been good. But when I look at that relationship, I wouldn't want a partner who was following me, and I wouldn't want to be with someone whom I felt the need to follow, you know, because if I followed my wife, you know, there's some times where as much as I love my wife, she might be off a little bit, and the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, you know, then will we not both fall into the pit? But it's just such a blessing to have someone that's walking with me. And I've come to find out that when you are walking with someone, you don't have to figure out what the next word is going to be. You don't have to figure out how to dot every I and cross every T. In fact, when you're walking with, there's times you don't even have to say a word, but you just enjoy that person's company, and you bask in the presence of that person. And that's pretty much how it is with God. When we learn to walk with God, we come to a place to whereby even if there's not a word said, we can simply bask in his presence, knowing that he is there. You know, one thing about marriage, you know, marriage is a funny thing, Billy, and I'm sure you can attest to this. In marriage, you can fall out with your spouse, and you may not have words to say, and your spouse may not have words to say. But as long as that spouse is with you, even in the silence, you might be mad and they might be mad. But as long as they stay there, then you're okay with that. And so it is with God. There are times that along this walk, I've been mad with God. I've fallen out with God. But you know what? Just knowing that he is with me, even though we are mad with one another, you know, it is such a blessing knowing that he is with me. You know, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so I'm so excited about the Lord. And I will say this: you might have to stop me, because if I get on a roll here, just talking about the goodness of the Lord, I don't even know if this broadcast have enough time to even hold what God has done in my life. Matter of fact, I think Jesus even declared that, you know, if he were to count the books, there wouldn't even be enough books in the entire world to contain everything that Jesus did. And I could truthfully say there would not even be enough books in the world to contain the work what Jesus has done in my life. And so we truly serve a mighty God.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. As I thought about our call on yesterday, and you know, just takes our mind back to those beginnings, and Elder Baggett, Robert A. Baggett, was such a sweet and humble man. I remember one time I was at the convention. And one of the brothers asked, I think, Angela, you remember Angela Watts, who is now, Brady now. And asked us how, you know, what church we were at a convention. He asked what church we attended, and we told him, you know, we're from Chicago, and we had attended Morgan Park. It was Morgan Park Assembly, I think, at that time. I think it was before Elder Baggett changed the name, but he asked us, he said, "Oh, yeah, your pastor is that pastor that smiles all the time. He just seems so, you know, soft." And he didn't say soft, but, he was, Elder Baggett was a gentleman. He was he wasn't one that was ruling his people with an iron fist. He was loving and, like you said, smiling all the time. And we, you know, Angie and I looked at each other and we said, "Well, you know, he doesn't have to be, because he's so nice. Who wants to go against him? Who wants to, you know, make him mad?" So that's how God is with us sometimes. You know, he says, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." So, you know, he loves us, and we were hell scared a lot of the time back in the day because of the teaching and because of our forefathers and the things that they taught us. But we, when you get to know God for yourself and you get to know the grace of God, and thank God for that grace, because a lot of us would be lost if it weren't for the grace of us getting mad at God and not understanding, and like we do our spouse sometimes, not talking to God. But when you have a relationship with him, then it, you know that it's all good because he's not going to leave us. And the Bible even tells us that no man can pluck us out of his hand, you know, that we have to walk away. And you get mad like you get angry with your spouse, but you don't walk away. You don't walk away. So.
Yeah.
I'm like Peter. When God said, who the men say that I am? And they said, well, oh, that's, you know, you're the Christ, you know. And he said, well, where will we go? You know, where will we go? We certainly wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back to the life that I had before salvation. What about you? Would you go back to the life that you had without salvation in your life?
Oh, my goodness, Billy. You know what? To be honest with you, it wasn't a life, you know. I don't even know. I think it was just merely an existence, you know, an existing. It wasn't a true life without salvation. You know, Jesus said, I came for this reason, and that is that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so it's twofold with Jesus. Not only did he come that he to take you from a place of merely surviving, and I know I hear people on the, you know, young folk and people on the street and whatever, they, man, I'm just a survivor. You know, I'm just a survivor. And my question is to those survivors is when are you going to start living? When do you become a liver, so to speak? And Jesus said, I came that you might, on one hand, have life, and then on the other hand, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you have life on one hand, and on the other hand, you have abundant life. And so it's a win-win situation. You have life and you have abundant life with Jesus. And prior to that, I was just merely existing, and I wouldn't trade it for a billion dollars.
No.
Oh, wow. God has just been so good to us.
Yes.
I was thinking about what you were saying about Elder Baguette, and that man has truly blessed my life, and you're right, he smiled quite a bit, and I remember one time, you remember the fellowship hall downstairs in the basement, and I forgot the sister, she would, the sister from Jamaica would be down there selling Jamaican meat patties. I don't know if you remember
yeah.
that.
Yes. Mother, was it Mother, honey, help me. The mother from Jamaica. Uh-oh, you're not on, babe.
Well, I was down there. I was in line trying to get my Jamaican meat patty. Are you there, Billy?
I'm here.
And Elder Baguette came in, and with his smile and his animation, he said to me, he said, praise the Lord, Brother Nathan Granger. He said,
yeah.
I am certainly glad to see you.
Yeah.
And I smiled. I mean, I smiled so, and I would never forget, but he said to me, he said, brother, you have that smiling Holy Ghost. And and I looked at him like he was crazy because I didn't know, I had no idea back then, you know, when he said, you have that smiling Holy Ghost. And I just thought, oh, man, he is just too deep. But truly, I think he was referencing the joy of the Lord that he saw in my life, and early on, my favorite verse in the Bible, and I would testify it, and it was in Psalms, the 30th Psalm. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment.
Yeah.
In his favor is life. weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I remember back then, I couldn't even get the rest of the verse out, because when I got to the word joy, I would take off and I would run around the church and I would shout. It was something about that joy, that unspeakable joy, that just resonated with me in such a way to whereby it was just I couldn't contain it. I couldn't control it. And you know something? I couldn't even describe it. It was truly joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know something, Billy? It's been 30-something years, and I can truthfully say I still have joy. It has not gone out. You know, it has not subsided. And to be honest with you, to this day, I still really just can't explain it. It is truly joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. And now I don't even try to explain it. I know it's there, and he know it's there, and now I don't have to testify about it and run around a church. I just live it, and in living it, you know, and just being with him, I just simply bask in his goodness and let me say, and have learned to appreciate the joy of the Lord. I laugh because it's such a joy.
Oh yes, it's that's the kingdom of God. You're basking in the kingdom of God. I heard the psalmist that sang that, righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. And I said for years, you know, how do we seek the kingdom of God? How do we get to the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? You know, for years, and I could hear that song going over and over. And I guess maybe about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was singing that song, and I said, righteousness, peace, and joy. And then I looked it up in the Bible, and I said, that's the kingdom of God. As we walk with God and as we, you know, get to know him and get to experience the things that we experience in God. And, you know, like you said, that it's not always a flowery bed of roses, you know. In salvation, I know we were taught, oh, get saved and all your problems will be over.
Well,
we come to find out that is not true. That is not true. But we thank God for keeping us, and he keep us if we want to be kept. He'll keep us if we want to be kept. So, honey, is your mic open now?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Oh, okay.
Praise the Lord, Dr. Knight.
Praise the Lord, Brother Burns. How you doing, man?
God bless you. Just a joy to hear from you, and just kind of going along with it. The joy that we just feel, and the exuberance concerning God's kingdom and his salvation, because it's an awesome thing. People just don't know. It's an awesome thing. No matter what they have, no matter what their life is like now, if their life is bad, it can be overtaken by joy. If they think their life is good, life with God is just, I don't know, many times over better than what they could even imagine with all their homes and boats and jewelry and cars and whatever they have. But life with God is just, it's a joy. It's just easy to be happy. The old psalmist says, when you think of the goodness of Jesus,
yes.
And when we look back over our lives, so many of those old songs that just stir up joy in us that we have to just rejoice, have to be happy, have to smile. And when people wonder, we can just tell them the goodness of the Lord and how the joy of the Lord is my strength. And let me give it back, because I think you got me a little stirred up too. And
all right, that's all right.
Show. I keep telling people, and my wife, reminding her that she's the host of this thing. You got me a little stirred up this morning. Just glad to hear from you. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's I was talking to Billy yesterday, and I got stirred up, and I said, you know what, I have to cut it short, because as we were talking, we were just thinking about the joy of the Lord and how they overcame, you
yeah.
know. And the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so it wasn't just again going back to that the thought of something being twofold. Yes, there was a work that Jesus did. There was the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of their testimony, you know. And so it's such a blessing to have a testimony. And so as I was talking to you, Billy, yesterday, I couldn't contain myself. I just got to cut this thing short, because I won't even be able to talk tomorrow on the broadcast, because I was just so busy just wanting to testify and talk about the goodness of the Lord. And once we start praising Him, it's kind of hard to stop praising Him. And when you are doing a work for the Lord, particularly, sometimes you actually get caught up in doing the work to the extent that you actually don't take the time out to testify anymore. You don't take that time out to count your blessings. And it was something about talking with you yesterday that really allowed me to reflect back and to, you know, as the old people say, look back and wonder how I got over. And so,
oh, yes.
You know, Elder Burns and Sister Burns, it's truly a blessing to be able to look back and wonder, you know, how we got over. And truly, I'm very excited about walking with God, and not just trying to follow Him as it were. In a list of rules or in a list of regulations. Sometimes I think we get caught up in following the rudiments of man, and to the extent that we don't know how to walk with God, because we're trying to follow these rules, the rudiments. And I remember back in the old time way, you know, oh God, going way back. You know, I remember there was a controversy about women's shoes, and that just really blew me away way back then. I was always one that was somewhat not rebellious, but I would question, you know, what is the meaning of this, you know? And if it was madness to me, I would quickly think, and you know, and even sometimes verbalize, this is madness. Well, it was a big controversy that I would never forget about shoes. And so the controversy was that the sisters could not wear shoes with their toes out. But then it came around that, but if they do wear shoes with their toes out, then the heel can't be out. And if they wear shoes with the, you know, with the heel out, then the toe couldn't be out, and it was an entire list of rules centered around the wearing of the shoe, and I remember just thinking, the God I serve, isn't he much more than the shoe? Surely his power is greater than the shoe. Surely he transcends the shoe. Now, I don't say that to criticize by any means, you know, but it just makes me think of how God has brought us a mighty long way, how I've come to realize that in walking with him, if I wear gym shoes or if I wear, you know, sandals to the beach or whatever the case might be, Jesus is on the beach with me, or he's in the playground with me, or he's with me wherever I go. And so if I have on shoes, whether they're gym shoes or sandals or whatever the case might be, I don't have to walk in that fear that, brother, because of those shoes, you're going to hell, you know. And so, again, going back to walking with him and truly in walking with him, the Bible declares that he makes us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I like what you said, Elder Burns, in reference to it doesn't matter what you have. And I don't care if it's boats. I don't care if it's, you know, mansions. I don't care what it is, you know. Sitting in those heavenly places transcends any earthly place that you can possibly imagine. You know, in fact, the Bible says that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so it is just a blessing to be in that place. And even though I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I'm yet sitting in heavenly places. There's papers all around me. I got my coffee cup here. There's just some junk right now because there's work I need to do. However, despite that, I am in heavenly places, and it's truly a blessing.
Amen. It is. So I was telling my husband yesterday about us talking and how you have elevated to the highest height of the educational realm, and how so proud we are of the accomplishments that you've made in your life. And if it weren't for the Lord who was on your side, you know, you might not have been able to accomplish those things that you have accomplished in the natural world. And then in the spiritual world, you are a pastor. And so just tell us a little bit about what God has done in your life all these years. I mean, you and your wife have traveled around the world, and
Billy, God, let me just with the education piece alone. I was certainly in line to be another statistic on the streets of Chicago. Gang banging and, you know, that type of life and the drugs and everything that comes along with it. And at one time, gross poverty to the extent of virtually living on the streets of Chicago. And I dropped out of high school in my sophomore year, without a hope in the world, you know. It was funny, though, even though I dropped out at 17. At 17, I knew everything, and now that I'm doctor, I realize there's so much I don't know. And so, but I was a 17-year-old, Mr. Know-It-All, dropped out of school, trying to hustle, as it were. And I remember even the when I got saved. Prior to getting saved, it was during the Christmas holiday, and I was a leader. But I was a leader in the wrong type of way, and I was leading different ones to get high and teaching them how to get high, methods of doing the wrong thing. And so we were partying during the Christmas holiday and coming up with our New Year resolutions and different ones. I said, well, you know, what is your resolution? And I asked different ones who were down in this den of iniquity, what is your resolution? And different ones had different resolutions. And so the question came around to me, what is your resolution? And I remember telling that group that my resolution, my New Year resolution for that year, for 1982, believe it or not, my New Year resolution was that I want to get closer to God. And I had no idea what that meant, but I knew down in my soul that I wanted to get closer to God. And I set out on the first Sunday of that New Year on a cold Chicago morn. And I literally didn't have a dime to my name. I had my cigarettes and my marijuana with me and whatnot, you know. But I sat out in that cold, and I walked, and I passed by Morgan Park Assembly because that was a church we were told some kind of way. I don't know where I got it from, but I was just accustomed. You don't go in there, and I passed by there, and I was on my way to the Lutheran church where I was sprinkled as a child. And as I was walking, I mean, blocks and blocks and blocks, the Lord literally spoke to me and said, go back. And I thought I was tripping. You know, I thought I had maybe did a little too much over the Christmas holiday. I thought I was tripping. And it came to me again, go back. And before you knew it, I had turned around and had walked all the way back, and I'm standing in front of Morgan Park Assembly, and I'm reading the sign trying to make sense of it, and none of it made sense. And I went into the doors, and right then and there, I knew that I was in the right place, as they say, in the right place.
At the right time.
To hear the right word of God.
Word of God.
And I knew I was in the right place at the right time. And I sat in Sunday school that day, and Minister Gregory Wales was teaching Sunday school. And this brother smiled. Now, Gregory Wales I'm dark-skinned, and Brother Wales was two or three shades darker than I was. And he smile with a smile that was snow white, and it was almost as if God himself was smiling at me. And he said to me, he said, brother, he said, are you saved? I said, I think so. In my mind, I wanted to give the correct answer. You know, saved from what? Is it saved from gang violence? Saved from street life? Whatever. So I wanted to give the right answer, and I said to Gregory Wales, I said, I think so. I think I am saved. He said to me, he said, well, he discerned that I wasn't. He said, well, just stick around. And I stuck around, and during the service, I sat next to Minister Paul Valentine. And he was a young man, and he introduced me to his wife. And that blew me away right there because he didn't say my lady or, you know, my girlfriend. I was like, man, this young dude actually has a real wife, a real live wife. And that just blew me away. And when the altar call was given, something pulled me. And Brother Valentine said to me, he said, "Brother, I think it's your time." I was like, no, I'm cool. He said, no, I think it's your time. And Elder Begette says, "Young man, come on." And the next thing you know, I had gotten up and had gotten saved and got baptized and ended up filled with God's Spirit. And when I left out, even though, like I say, it was a cold morning that day, when I left up out of there, everything was brighter. The sun was brighter. The skies were bluer. Life as I once knew it was no more. Everything looked different. And from there, just to expedite time, I ended up joining the Army. And even in the Army, I took the Lord with me. And my troops would call me Rev, I just took the Lord with me everywhere I went, and like I say, I was a high school dropout, but there was something inside of me that kept telling me, there was a desire to go higher. There was just this desire. I got to do better. I want more out of life, and now that I have the tool. And that tool being Jesus, I was able to do that. Whereas without Him, I didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't see the wherewithal to get from high school dropout to the place of taking classes and taking one class at a time, and eventually getting my bachelor's in psychology, and then later my master's in counseling and human services, and then ultimately my doctorate in clinical psychology, and truly God has been with me every step of the way. I do want to say that a couple things helped change that. During my time in the military, and I was married at this time, my wife and I had the opportunity to be stationed in Germany, and while we were over there, we attended a chapel. We were very faithful to a chapel. And in this chapel, there were parishioners from all walks of life. There were Hispanic and there were white and there were black, and people from all different walks of life and different denominations were in this chapel. But yet we all came together with a common goal, and that goal was to glorify God. And that was a life-changing experience for me, coming from PAW, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, and certainly a life-changing experience for my wife, because, I remember thinking that no one else was saved or no one else knew the Lord, but when we all came together and we all glorified God together, it changed my whole way of looking at walking with God, and that walking with God became somewhat less judgmental, to the extent of whereby I wasn't going around looking at the world and people through a glass half empty by, they ain't saved, and whatever. That wasn't no longer my primary focus, but rather, people do love God. There are some that love God who are not of this fold, and I saw that firsthand in this little chapel, changed my life, and so many life changing experiences. The birth of children saved my life when God blessed my son Nathan Alexander to be born, and then Stephen Lawrence, 3 years later, to come into the world. And then 3 years after that, my daughter, Aaliyah Janae, being a father and the love that I have towards my children, that further demonstrated to me the love that God, our Father, has towards His children. And as you know, as a parent, sometimes kids, they don't always do everything you want them to do, but you don't disown them. And I'm so happy that God didn't disown me, my Heavenly Father didn't disown me in those times when I wasn't up on the mountaintop. And so, again, walking with God. And then from there, Billy, I just have to say, Be Real Ministries, after different churches and different things, God moved us into a place to whereby Be Real Ministries was founded, because it got to a place to whereby we knew how to play the church game.
Yes.
But it came to a place where God required for us to be real.
Yes.
And so it became more to it than an emotional high. It really became literal living this thing, being real. And in being real, I can say, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I need your help in this area, you know. And so Be Real Ministries was founded. And actually, it was started with just my family, because one thing about your family, it becomes your ministry, you know. Your family within your house. So it started with my family, my wife, Arita Granger, and my three children in our family room. And after a few people had started coming, we decided to move into a small office area and a small office, you know, a little office space. And we outgrew that, and the Lord allowed us to move to an actual church building. And God has just met us there. And really, Be Real Ministries is somewhat of a different type of ministry, in that you know, it incorporates not only the Lord but also the profession that He allowed me to go in, and that is you know, being a clinical psychologist. And so, with an existential humanistic approach, our goal is not to label anyone who comes in. Our label is not to judge anybody, but rather facilitate in finding meaning to one's existence, and to help them better adjust to the challenges of being fully human. And so what we do at Be Real Ministries, we endeavor to promote a sense of well-being and wholeness within every person who walks through those doors by looking at different individualistic needs. One thing about Jesus, one thing about our Lord, is that He deals with us individually. You know, something they used to say is that you can't go off of mama's testimony and you can't go off of daddy's testimony, but you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And, you know, Jesus loves us with an individual love. He loves me with a Nathaniel love. He loves Brother Albert, He loves you with an Albert love. He loves you, Billy, with a love designed specifically for you. He can't love me exactly like He loved you. You know, I love my wife, but I don't love my wife exactly like I love my son Nathan. And I don't love my son Nathan exactly like I love my son Stephen. And I don't love my son Stephen exactly like I love my daughter Aaliyah. But I have to love them each with an individual love, with their name written on it. And so does our Heavenly Father. He loves us with an individual love.
That's so true. I was just thinking, I talked with Christopher, and I don't think you know my I know you know that my Mark, but I don't think you know the rest of my boys. But anyway, Chris was saying to me yesterday that we're going to a wedding. And so our guest last week was a couple that were married and had been married for 20-something years and came to a point where they didn't like each other anymore and didn't understand each other anymore, got a divorce, and the Lord has brought them back together. And they are not renewing, because they did get a divorce, but they are getting remarried today. Anyway, Chris was saying that he was going to wear a suit, and I haven't seen my sons in a suit in so long because everything is casual now. But anyway, he said, and when you see me, you're going to fall in love. And I told him, I said, I fell in love almost 28 years ago. And that's how God is with us. You know, he loves us no matter what we've done. And the scripture of the theme of this broadcast, they overcame. I always hear people quote it, and they always leave out this one word, and the word is him. They overcame him, who? The devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I tell people, I said, your life is your testimony. Yes, we have specific things that we want to point out in our lives, but as you're talking, you know, I'm just realizing that in what I say, your life is your testimony. The things that God has brought you through, the things that your individual life, you know, your individual life. And, you know, I just, as I told you yesterday, I sit here with a smile on my face, and I did not realize that you had, I don't know where my mind was, but I didn't realize that you joined the service. I don't even know why I thought you weren't, I didn't see you at church anymore. You know what I'm saying? But I remember when you married a dear friend of mine, you married her sister, and I remember when you guys were dating, I don't remember where we were. I don't know if we were at True Holiness or where we were, but when I knew that you guys were engaged to be married, or maybe it was over to Nola's house, I don't remember. But anyway, you were talking about marrying her, and now 26 years ago, you guys have built a life together and a ministry. You know, and we're just so proud of, you know, what God has done in your life and what God is doing in your life, and you know, we're just happy. That song, I know that they play it all over the world, so I know you're familiar with that song, Happy. Do they play that?
Yes.
Okay. And that is truly a God-inspired song.
We are happy. And again, going back to not only happy, but having joy.
Yes.
You know, and I make that differentiation because, you know, sometimes again, circumstances may arise, and there may be times when we're not so happy, but still that joy is forever present. And so it's almost like happiness becomes situational sometimes, but, you know, because you might say something to them, it may not make me too happy, but because I have the joy of the Lord, that the old people used to say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Now, the world, just in driving in traffic, someone may cut me off in traffic, and surely that takes away my happiness for that moment. But it cannot take away the joy of the Lord that's down on the inside. And so that is truly a blessing. You know, I was just listening to you, Billy, when you said we overcame the devil. And I'm like, wow, that is really powerful when I think of that. And what I think about in that is just our lifestyles and how we do have to, there is a certain lifestyle that we have to live and ascribe to. And one of the things that I found in overcoming the devil is even in the way we eat. You know, some of the stuff, I mean, I used to eat pig's feet and all kind of stuff, and just stuff that, oh my goodness! And a couple years ago, I had a scare because after I turned 50, I had to have a colonoscopy, and they, you know, had to remove polyps, but one of them was cancerous, and at that point in time, you know, something clicked in me. You know what? I can't just keep eating anything. I just can't. You know, there are certain foods that the devil gets into, and it's just, oh, my goodness, it's just not good for the body. And God desires for us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul shall prosper. And so having said that, you know, I was on a mission pretty much to change even the way I eat. You know, yes, I stopped, you know, in salvation, you know, there's a lot of bad habits we just don't do anymore. But one of the things people of God don't recognize is our diet. And a lot of times you see saved folk, as it were, they have more health problems than people in the world sometimes. You know, why is everybody so overweight, and why do we always have to have fried chicken and fried everything, you know, at every function? And so greens, you know, and I love my greens, but you don't have to pour bacon grease in your greens. You know, where we, you know, the old folk used to pour grease in the greens. And so, Billy, that is another thing where God has truly blessed me with a product called Moringa Alifera. And it's through Zesia International. And this product has truly been a blessing to my life and to my wife's life. And this is something we have implemented as part of our diet. And what Moringa Alifera is, it is the most nutrient-rich botanical on the planet Earth. And in Exodus, the 15th chapter, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord pointed out a tree to him. And the Bible says he threw that into the water, into the bitter water, and the water became sweet. And legend has it that this Moringa Alifera is actually that tree that Moses used way back then that healed the water, so to speak. But I will say this product has over 100 anti-inflammatory properties. You know, a lot of times we want to take a pill for this and a pill for that. Well, I do believe God has put on our earth some natural supplements for us where we don't have to take all of these man-made chemicals, you know, in order to help us. When God has made certain things and for our enjoyment and for our health. And so I don't want to get on a roll or a tangent with this, but I just want to interject that this is just another area how God has blessed me. Not only am I cancer-free, but also, too, there has been a lifestyle change in God leading us to methods in which to change our way of consuming, our way of eating. And it is through this Moringa Alifera. And if you're listening out there, I just want to say that, you know, my wife definitely is a sponsor, and she said give her name out. Her name is Aretha Granger, and her number is 719-229-5865. As well as members of Be Real Ministry, William Kress, he can be reached at 719-640-5508. And April Jordan, Sister Jordan, has truly been a blessing to us. And her number, she can be reached at 719-640-8950. And they are distributors of this supplement, and truly it has been life-changing.
Amen. I always say live, eat to live, not live to eat. That has been our, especially once you get saved, because, you know, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. But the one thing we could do, and we did that well, and that was eating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
I remember those late nights, and we used to take, if we had a visiting minister, I remember Bishop Noel Jones, we would take him out to eat after the service, and Elder Marshall Taylor. We used to take him out and eat. And we didn't eat wisely. I remember Bishop Jones would never eat anything heavy. I mean, we'd be eating. We'd be eating. It'd be 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we'd be eating, you know, whatever we wanted to eat. And Bishop Jones would have a soup. He would have a soup, and he would always order a soup, and he would never order, you know, anything else. And we just, you know, we didn't take heed to, you know, what he was doing, because we were, you know, we were so busy doing our thing and eating what we wanted to eat. But as you get older, you are supposed to get wiser, and that we used to do, you know, the we used to say when we got saved, looked at my hands and the hands looked new, and the things we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Well,
yeah.
We have to come to a place where, you know, when we're eating, we have to think about, you know, our temple and the things that we're putting into it. And I was sharing with you yesterday, you know, that that we are juicers here. I'm juicing a little more. Well, Al is not juicing now, but I still try to get some juice in a few times a week. And but that's important. But thank you for sharing that with the listeners. We do have to be conscious of our health. We do have to protect the temple that God dwells in. And we look at, when we talk about sin, we look at sin and, you know, some of the things that we say are sin and not sin, but some things in the Bible just says that sin, we don't even think about that. Gluttony.
Gluttony. We don't think about gluttony being a sin. And we, especially in America, America is really a gluttonous nation.
Oh, yeah.
Almost worship food, you know.
Oh, yeah. Our belly god. Our
only
belly
the god of our
belly. Yes. So tell us about Be Real Ministries. Tell us a little bit. It sounds intriguing. Be Real Ministries.
You know, one of the things we certainly believe that, you know, we have a certain duty, and our duty is to lift the fallen and visit the sick according to Scripture, strengthen
yeah.
the weak, encourage the faint-hearted, and comfort the feeble-minded, point the lost to a way of salvation, and urge all believers to seek a spirit-filled life. And our chief aim is to glorify Christ by providing counseling, empowering, and even culturally sensitive services, support and hope to real people with real issues. One of the things we pride ourselves in not doing, we do not browbash anyone with religion, but rather we perpetuate the importance of relationship with God and an understanding of His love towards you as a human being. And I've come to find out that the relationship, it trumps religion. And
yeah.
it is so important to shift our focus away from religion and focus on a relationship. I believe it was Paul who said, you know, for us to leave the principles of the doctrine and go on to perfection, you know. You know, leaving some of these principles and moving on, moving past that. And one of the things, Billy, I have to say is that at Be Real Ministries, we have people who have come from out of Catholicism and Jehovah Witness, and even though we're small and we're growing, we have people from different walks of life, and we recognize how God deals with different ones. Everybody is not going to shout, you know. Some people sit there and just tears flow, just tears flow, and they're not going to get up and run around. They sit there and tears flowing, and you see God moving on them and meeting them even as they sit. And one of the things I didn't understand as a child, not a child, but when I was young, I guess back at Morgan Park, I really was a child, but when there was an old person said, if I can just wave my hand. And I didn't even understand that. What you mean if you could just wave your hand? You need to be shouting. You know, you need to be doing like, you know. I was so critical back then. I just thought everybody has to do it exactly, you know, everybody got to shout. You just got to be shouting all over the place. Well, you know, God loves us individually, and we recognize that different ones have individual needs, not just spiritual, but different ones have individual psychological needs. Sometimes people come from a place where they've been hurt, and as a psychologist, I have to recognize that and attend to that need, not openly, you know, but confidentially, you know. And so we don't believe in just airing out. We don't have – one thing we don't have, and again, this is not to criticize anyone's beliefs or nothing like that. However, we just don't believe in airing out people's dirty laundry. We don't have a saints meeting to put anybody on blast, you know, in front of the entire church. The Bible says if you confess your faults one to another, you know, he is just and faithful to forgive you. And so different ones, they have took advantage of that atmosphere, and they do come to me, and I do meet with different ones throughout the week, you know, where we attend to not just the spiritual need, but the psychological needs of different ones. You know, a lot of times in Christendom, we speak of healing and we speak of deliverance. And when Jesus healed, he didn't only heal different ones, but he would say to different ones who came to him that you are healed, and, you know, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And so not only is it important to be healed on a natural, you know, naturally healed, but also, too, we have to be made whole. And that wholeness is a soundness of mind. I think that is very important because, you know, we can shout, you know, and dance and praise God until the timbers come down. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a sound mind, you are still living beneath your privilege. And as a child of God, I think it's very important to focus on soundness of mind. You have different ones who are in the church who have been wounded by the church because people would tell them, well, you know, you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time. You're not saved, or whatever the case might be. You know, different things where people have been wounded. Well, that's what Be Real Ministries is for. It's for those who want to serve God, who wants to be in the presence of God, who really want to live for God, who have been wounded, who have been hurt, and felt like giving up. You know what? I'm through with church. I'm through with this church thing, and so we are. We are led to move away from the church game, so to speak, because we all can play the game. We know the vernacular. Matter of fact, if you've been in Christendom for any length of time, certainly for a few decades, your vocabulary has changed. We know certain words that you would not say had you not grown up in the church, you know, when certain things come to fruition. You know, I didn't know anything about fruition except from the church or peradventure and, you know, certain things we've learned from the church. So we know the lingo. We know how to play the game. We know when to lift our hands. We know exactly just what to do. But once we leave out of those doors, our focus has to be on, are you whole? Are you whole? And so that is where Be Real Ministries, we operate from that premise, that, again, being real enough to know that you are in a place where you shouldn't be, being also real enough to be able to praise God by lifting your hands, or if you want to run around, you can, or if you just want to sit there, you know. But the bottom line is being real, being truthful, because God desires truth from the inward parts. And so, and again, we're small, and I do want to say this, that we do operate by your support. You know, we operate by different ones' support, and any support that those out there listening can help Be Real Ministries to facilitate in our goals, feel free to write us at P.O. Box 62116, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962. Again, that's P.O. Box 62116, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962. We do believe at Be Real Ministries that you are unique. You know, God didn't, he didn't clone us. You know, he didn't make a bunch of clones. I heard Bishop Brazier say many years ago that he don't want any other Bishop Braziers running around the church. He didn't want no one to copy him. He didn't want a duplicate, you know.
Right.
And that was before cloning came out. But that's what he was saying. You know, God didn't make clones. At Be Real Ministries, you are unique. In all the history of the world, there was never anyone else exactly like you. And all infinity to come, there will never be another you. And with this in mind, our goal is empowering you to overcome your unique hindrances that you may become all that you are capable of becoming. And so this is the vision that God has given us, to recognize that we are unique. We are different. Everyone is different, and everyone has different needs. People come from different walks of life. And again, our God is a God that recognizes that, and he loves us all with an individual love.
Yes. As you were talking, I was thinking about my dad, and he used to say that to us. There's only one you, there'll never be another you. And then he told us, he said, no one has your fingerprint. No one could ever match your fingerprint. You were made just you, just one you. And we can look at our children, and I think I've seen a picture of one of your sons that models.
Yes. Nathan is a model, and actually he's in a movie lead role. He's in the lead role of a movie coming up. And he asked me not to mention that, but I'm, as a proud parent, I'm just saying that. I'm just saying.
Of course. And God brags on us. God brags on us like he did Job. He was bragging on Job. We say he was, why would God put Job on Front Street like he did with the devil and cause him to go through the things? But a friend of mine who was a guest on the broadcast used this vernacular. She said, God considered him. God considered him, and so she said when she has problems, Pastor Odetta Miley, and I just want to give a congratulations to her. I know that she's not listening, but she was just engaged this past week, and just so very happy for her. But she said God, she doesn't look at her having problems. She just looks at her being considered by God, bragging on her, talking about her, putting her on Front Street so that the devil can see, this is my child. This is my child. And, you know, we can go through things and still love him. We can go through things and still have faith that he can bring us out. We can go through things and, you know, still know that nobody can take us out of his hands. Nobody can, you know, make us lose that love of God, no matter what we've done. And that's something that we have not been taught, Pastor Dr. Granger. We have not been taught that in the former church. You know, we were taught that all we were taught was the don't do's. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, God is not pleased if you do that. Like, I come to find out that was not true. That was not true. God, and then the thing that used to get me was they told me, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He knew yesterday from today, and he knows tomorrow from today. But yet I can lose his love when he already knew, you know, that I was going to have this challenge. He already knew that I was going to be going through this thing. And because I'm going through it or because I make a mistake, I'm not saved.
That's not the way God operates.
Oh no. That's not the way that he operates. And you know, I was, as you were talking about your degree and what your degrees are in, and you were saying that you minister to the whole man, you just don't minister on the spiritual level, but you minister to the whole man. And I think about the pastors that recently have been in the news where they have taken their lives, because of, I'm sure, the pressures of ministry and personal pressures. I'm sure that they probably have dealt with or were dealing with, and had we as a church recognized that in yesteryears, they used to tell us that we didn't have any problems. We couldn't have any problems. If you had a problem, then you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. But what did the man, you know, what did that when the man was sick and they said, well, Jesus, who sinned? Did his mother sin? Or did he sin? Did his daddy sin? And he said, no, it's not a sin thing. It's so that God can be glorified. We need ministries like yours that is dealing with issues, because we have a lot of stuff going on in the world today that people need to recognize. Even in salvation, you're going to have issues.
Absolutely.
You're going to have issues. Yes, and thank God for your ministry that deals with the whole man, and, you know, lets them know that even though you may have an issue, you still are loved by God, and we're here to help you. That's awesome.
Absolutely. You know, I really appreciate you get me fired up because you say you say things and then it triggers something else, and I tell you what, it is so good just to think of how God considered us. You know, he actually considered me. You know, think about that. That it's so humbling to think that, man, God actually considered me. And even when I look at my children, and God truly, I'm crazy. I crazy love my children. Crazy love. And I often say that God blessed me with three jewels, a ruby, a diamond, and a pearl. And he didn't bless me with three pearls, or he didn't bless me with three rubies or three diamonds, but he blessed me with three gems. And they are so, so uniquely different. And again, as I forestated, when I look at my son Stephen, who it's just amazing to look at your children and imagine that they all came from the same gene, you know, because they're so different, you know. Uh-huh. And so when I look at, you know, my son Stephen, he is so different from Nathan, but he, in his uniqueness, is such a blessing, not only to my life, but he's a blessing to me. To me, he's a blessing to the world. And as a parent, I support him in his uniqueness. And I remember talking to him years ago when he was younger and he was looking up to his big brother. And I said to him, I said, Stephen, I said, it is not meant for you to be another Nathan. You just simply need to be the best Stephen that you can be. Be Stephen. And the same thing with my daughter Aaliyah. You know, sometimes siblings want to emulate one another, but they have to be taught sometimes to simply be who you are and be the best you can be.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember in school, Christopher, who is the youngest of our second set of kids, Tim was coming right behind them, and they had the same teacher, you know, the following year, because they're stair steps like yours sound like. And I told the teacher one time, I told her, now, Tim is totally different from Chris. And then I was so, you know, happy to hear her say that she recognized that and that she didn't expect for Tim to act like Chris, which was good because Tim was totally, totally different from Chris. And John, our youngest, is totally different from, you know, both of his brothers. It's amazing how God makes us unique, really.
Yeah.
Uniquely and wondrously made. So we just salute
that. Isn't
that
awesome?
That
is so awesome that, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made and uniquely, you know, and it is truly a blessing. You know, one of the things where you said, one of the things we were taught, and yes, the scripture, I got to laugh because some of the things we were taught, some of it actually came from scripture, but it was just the you know, when we kind of twisted some things around. You know, when you mentioned about God being the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, you know, I think it was Bishop Noel Jones in one of his messages. He said that, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, yet he is without sameness, you know. And so even though he is the same God, he doesn't get, it's not boring, it's not like leftovers, you know.
Right,
and
right,
so,
right, right.
So even though he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, he is without sameness. And so having said that, we don't get bored. It's not a boring thing. Every day is fresh. Every day is new, you know. In fact, you know, he don't even give us the same mercies today what he gave us on yesterday. He don't even give us the same mercies. And so, you know, I think the Bible tells us that, you know, he gives us new, you know, today he gives us new mercies, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's truly a blessing when we think about how God actually considers us and considering us without that sameness, but uniquely. You know, he even considers us uniquely to the extent to whereby he doesn't deal with you the same way he did you 10 years ago. You know, the 25-year-old Nathaniel, God dealt with me differently at 25, you know, than what he deals with me at 45 or 50. He deals with me uniquely at the place where I'm at. He meets me exactly where I'm at, And so,
yeah.
And he doesn't expect me at 25 to be in the same place at 50, and vice versa. He doesn't expect me at 50, praise God, to be in the same place at 25. And so he meets us and he deals with us and he considers us where we are at.
Well, honey, are you there? I'm sure. I hear him in there. Our grandson is here with us. So he's in grandpa, doing his grandpa thing, and they're making breakfast. So. Hey, God, you don't have the joy of having grandchildren yet, but oh my goodness!
I so look forward to that day.
Oh, it is so funny. I was talking to John, and he was playing with his son, and they were playing a game, and Jonathan Jr. Was moving around, and he hit the game. And it's a game that has pieces, and they started to fall. And so John fussed at him. And I said, well, John, it was an accident. It was an accident. You know, accidents happen. And he looked at me, and he said, Mom, he said, there were no such things as accidents when we were kids.
There's a certain patience that comes with being a grandparent, huh?
Yes. I said, well, that's my grandson, and he does have accidents, and don't be fussing at him, because he accidentally did it. And so that's how God looks at us. He looks at us with the love that, you know, the devil comes to accuse us. And he looks at him, and he said, but I don't see them be Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for them. So it's such a joy. It is such a joy. And now I am a book. I am a good and loyal Facebooker. So if you want to connect with Dr. Granger and his ministry, you can connect with him. You can like his page. Be Real Ministries is the name of your Facebook page. I was sharing with Nick yesterday how people talk about Facebook and they don't like Facebook and, you know, they don't like the stuff that comes on Facebook. And I say, but I am so thankful to God that some of us, and I'm sure some of our forefathers tried to get the leaders to embrace the TV, as it was called back then, you know, the TV. And they didn't. And we would be so much as a church further along had we embraced, you know, that instrument. And so even though everything on Facebook is not good or even, you know, stuff that you want to see, but I'm so thankful to God that we have a way to connect around the world. Our Blog Talk Television connects around the world, and we're heard all over the world. And so, you know, I'm just thanking God that we have embraced that tool put out here for us. And I tell people to, you know, you let your presence, you may not like the things that are on Facebook, but let your presence be seen or you know, known on Facebook. Let the things that you're doing, you know, and uplifting God and, you know, telling people about God, let them see that. And if you're on the broadcast and you have not, I don't have a page per se. I don't have a page that you can like. I guess I have to do that for They Overcame. But look us up on Facebook, They Overcame, and request to be a friend of ours, and you'll get church news, you'll get testimonies, you'll get prayer requests, you know, things for us to pray about. And likewise on your page, Nate, you can like his page, and then are you able to post if you like your page? Are you able to post on your page?
Yes. Yes, you can post on my page. You can like it, you can post on it, and so it is open, you know, to that extent. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I just appreciate just you putting that out there, Billy, because Facebook, you're right, it can, you know, there's a lot of junk out there. And however, it is a tool to connect, and it is a tool that can be used for God's glory as well, you know, to encourage and to uplift. You know, we're in a global society now where it's not just, you know, our little niches or our little bitty, you know, corners of our little bitty churches somewhere, you know. And so and I think God is requiring of us. I think there's a responsibility for us to outreach, and I think you are doing an amazing job in just that, and just your broadcast being heard not just in your hometown, but all over the United States, and not just the United States, but this is actually being heard all over the world, recognizing that the God we serve is a global God, and so it is truly a blessing. And so I commend you in your work, in your ministry, and being obedient to the call of God, because, you know, it's not always convenient to do any type of ministry, and in doing so, it takes you out of your comfort zone, you know, just getting up in the mornings every morning to do this broadcast. It takes you out of your comfort zone to some degree, but
oh, yeah.
you recognize that it is a call, and that you are a tool used for the glory of God, and so it's truly a blessing.
It is, and I know that when Adrian Evangelist Bernard was actually had offered it to my husband, and he his sometimes on Saturdays, and so he knew that he wouldn't be able to be consistent with it, and then when the Lord gave this to me, and I asked her if I could have the spot, and you know, she was so happy to, you know, when I told her what the Lord had given me, and it was out of really the love that I had for the testimonies that we heard at Morgan Park, and the way that I remember the excitement and the joy that I felt, and the encouragement and even the inspiration, you know, that God could do the things that he was doing. And people were telling us, and as I listen to the testimonies that go across the broadcast now, I just sit back in awe, and I'm like, wow, you know, what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. And I want the world to know, you know, just what kind of God that we serve, because there are a lot of people out there. We still have, you know, those that don't believe in Jesus and the work of Jesus, and you know, we still have those that don't believe that there is a God. But as I was looking on Facebook, I don't know who posted it, I don't remember, but it was I don't know if he was a minister or what, but he was talking to the atheists and using scientific facts about evolution and how evolution wasn't even possible, you know. And I listened to it. I don't know if I shared it on my page. I usually share those kind of things, but it's just a blessing, you know, that God allowed someone to think of Blog Talk Radio, and it's a blessing that God allowed someone to come up with the internet so that we could be heard around the world. He's an awesome God. Awesome.
And I think it's up to us to embrace these things, you know, and not you know, years ago, had Facebook come out back in the 80s, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Many of us would have pleaded the blood, you know.
Yeah.
We would have pleaded the blood against this demonic thing that's on a computer, you know. And so as people of God, you know, we have to be able to recognize that, again, that God's power, his sovereignty, trumps, you know, so many things that we think is of the devil, you know. And so, for instance, Facebook is just one of those things. I'm sure there are those who still believe that it is of the devil, you know. How, you know, even though there are some demonic posts, I do believe it is one of those things that can be used to God's glory. And certainly Blog Talk Radio, you know, being able to reach the world, is God is all in that. God is all in that. And I just believe that we have to come out of our religious eyes and adhere to the relationship with Christ to the extent of walking with him. And when we walk with him, we will be able to recognize him in Blog Talk Radio. We will be able to recognize him in Facebook. When we walk with God, I can lift my head out of my scripture and look at the meadows and look at the trees and look at the mountaintop and look at the green grass, and I'm able to recognize the awesome work of God, you know, and that comes with walking with him, you know, and following him. On the other hand, you know, I don't think I would be able to recognize God in things outside of the pages of the book, you know. And so it is truly a thing to be able to walk with him, you know. And I just believe that, you know, walking with him, it just simply means that wherever we go and whatever we do, we are connecting with God and his word. And whether it's going to a business meeting, whether it's doing business on the internet, we are connecting with God. And so I just encourage the listeners out there today to get to a place in your walk to whereby you are connecting with God by walking with him, not just simply following him, but walking with him and knowing that there is a difference. You know, walking with God, I think, is just very important. And you take his word with you, and that he becomes a part of your life every moment of every day.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen. Well, I'm not able to see. Honey, are you with me? I'm not able to see. We did have some callers, and I was able to see the board, the switchboard. Babe?
Oh, yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Be muted. Honey?
Hi.
Hey, man, I was muted.
Do we still have callers? Do we still have callers on, Dave?
Yes, we've got a area code 719-5508. Caller, do you want to ask a question or give a testimony or say anything?
Yes, hello?
Amen. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm William Crest II, and I'm from Colorado Springs, and I just wanted to give a quick testimony. Y'all really touched me with the call this morning, and I actually go to Be Real Ministries, and I just wanted to, you know, say thank you, you know, for this, and it felt good to wake up in the morning and hear, you know, about the goodness of God in all types of ways, but, yeah, I just wanted to say hey, I don't know.
Oh, thank you for calling in. What was your name again?
My name is William Crest II, and I know really what I was thinking when I actually wanted to say something was when you were talking about Be Real Ministries and, you know, the direction and what it's really doing. I know it really had a big impact on my life when just the name Be Real Ministries, that's really something that drew me to the church. And I'm only 30 years old, and I can say for my generation, a lot of people under me, you know, people want to claim to be real and stuff like that. And like you were saying, it's like real people in real situations, and some people might not go to church or might not do religion because they feel like it's not real. You know what I mean? And I know a personal experience, you know, how, you know, that can affect people. You know, so I'm just so thankful for Be Real Ministries and what it's done for me and my family as far as really accepting, you know, accepting the person. I can see a change in my life and trying to grow that relationship with Christ. So I just wanted to thank Pastor Dr. Granger for all he's doing.
Amen.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing with us this morning. And that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes of your pastor, because there are so many ministries out there that they don't have anything good to say about their pastor or their church. You know, they're just in the church because it's kind of fashionable now. It's the thing to do to go to church. But when you're being impacted by your church, and you can tell the world that, you know, yes, this ministry is, you know, impacting my life and giving me the opportunity to serve God and not be caught up in a stereotypical, you know, kind of church that everybody is doing the same thing and saying the same thing, and, you know, nobody's being real. They're just, you know, they're just going through, you know, the flow. I remember when my boys are growing up and being, you know, pew babies, of course, they grow up knowing what to do and what to say and when to say it. And my Christopher was, he loved church. Oh, my goodness. And I told him when he was young, I said, no, you have got to get the Holy Ghost so that you can, you know, that you can really, you know God and not just be caught up in the church world, you know, the things of the church, because we come through a traditional church. Bishop has changed it somewhat. I know you sat under him when you were in San Antonio, so you know that Bishop William Anthony Ellis is a little different from a lot of pastors sitting under him. I love me some Bishop. I love that little man, but he's different. He's different, and you know, it did give us a chance to see, you know, a little different. He was different from Elder Begette, our former pastor, who retired and now is gone on to be with the Lord. But that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. So thank you for calling in, and thank you for supporting your pastor in this call this morning. So did you want to say something to him, Pastor?
Yes.
Did you want to say something to him?
Yes, I do appreciate Brother Crest and his support, and also too, I appreciate Brother Crest and his passion as far as taking care of the body, and he is, like I say, one of the distributors of Moringa Oliveira, and truly he has also changed my life in just his passion, and not only for in reference to dietary supplements, but his passion for the Lord, and the brother, he is one that somewhat reminds me of myself. When, back in the day, if I didn't understand something, I would question it. And Brother Crest is certainly one. If he doesn't understand, he will question it. And he is like a sponge that is on a continuum, seeking knowledge and wanting to know more and more and more about the Lord. And truly, it is a blessing when I see that, and I know that God is going to take him to, as they used to say back in the day, higher heights and deeper depths.
And deeper depths.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. It is. And you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, you said he reminds you of yourself. I said, you reap what you sow, huh?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for calling in. And I just want to invite you, if you have a testimony, you don't have to have a testimony like Dr. Granger, but you just to get on and say, you know, that you love the Lord. And if you know of anybody that has a testimony, give them the number and have them to call in or just listen in and be inspired every Saturday. We're on this line every single Saturday. So, you know, call in and listen or whatever, share, let everybody know about the broadcast.
Yes. Amen.
Hon. Anybody else on the line?
Yeah, we have another caller, same area code, 719, and the last four are 5416.
Amen. Are you there, caller? Hey,
yes,
man.
I am.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey, man. Now, this is the Saturday for men. Hallelujah.
How's everyone doing this morning? Hallelujah.
We're good. We're good. And can we have your name?
Yes. Sorry. I'm Stephen Granger. I didn't know. Ah! Just over, but, I'm Dr. Nate's son.
Yes.
Hey,
Stephen.
Amen. I can hear. Hey. I hear that voice. I hear that voice. I hear that voice. Amen. Well, thank you for calling in and supporting your dad
absolutely.
This morning.
Amen. Oh, no. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, a personal testimony, I mean, growing up with a pastor is definitely a walk within itself. But I can really say that, honestly, I've been working a lot, so I haven't been able to attend a lot of the services like I wish I could. But my dad and my family are really supportive of me, and they accept me whenever I can get back to the church. So I just really wanted to say, you know, just thank God for my dad for being able to be a dad to me in the church and be a pastor with me at home. So he'd be able and vice versa. So he's always been a mentor of mine. You know, I'm getting ready for work right now as we speak, and I'm glad I was able to tune in this morning.
Thank you, Stephen. Are you still there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I, you know, I love you, kid. So I'm glad you were able to listen in, and you know that not only do I love you, you know that you are always in my prayers every day without fail. And I know that even though I love you, I know that God loves you even more, and he loves you, as I often tell you, with an individual love, with your name, with Stephen Lawrence Granger written all over that. And so I just want you to be encouraged this day, even as you go to work, you know, knowing that God has enveloped you with a special love. And so just know that you are loved and that you are in his hands.
Thank you. And, again, thank you for the broadcast, and God bless, because I, for someone like me, I'm kind of on the go, and I don't really tune into the traditional radio. I think this is a real cool platform to you know, to get the word out and to just to talk about the Lord in the morning. So thank you guys for setting this up. It's awesome.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Stephen. I have that's actually Mark's middle name, Nate Stephen.
Is that right?
Yes, yes. So we just thank God for you calling in and supporting your dad this morning. And if you get a chance, whenever you get a chance, just tune in. We're here every Saturday at this same time. And you just thank God for you. And now your dad was telling us, what do you do?
Well,
Stephen?
I make music. Basically, I mean, a lot of local artists of all types, they come to me, and we kind of work on a lot of different mediums, not only just music, but theater and video. And so I'm kind of learning a lot right now, so I have my own little studio. People come and, you know, record or get some stuff done. But I'm just kind of, I guess, entrepreneuring my life.
Entrepreneur,
right now.
Yes.
Trying to get it out, trying to get it right. But yeah.
I have a son, Christopher. He does the same thing. He does, I always say it wrong, something with, they play the music and they have the lights that are in sync with the music and on different kind of backgrounds. And I don't know what it's called. I always say the wrong thing. So. But amen, amen. God uses us in many ways. And we just thank God that we, you know, that we can recognize that. I don't know if, Nate, if you are friends with Mario Dawson and Marcel. Dawson.
Oh my goodness! No, I mean, I know him from as a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he travels all over the world because, you know, his gift is on the drums, and Marcellus is producing, and but they love the Lord, and that's something that, you know, in the former church, it was taboo. You couldn't do, you know, loving the Lord and having a job outside of what, in the realm of what the church per se thought that it should be. So I thank God for enlightenment, you know, to know. I've been trying to get Mario to come on because, I mean, he plays for rock groups, he plays for different groups, but he still loves the Lord, and you know, he still is walking with the Lord, even though he has a profession that is what the former church and still some of the church consider taboo. We're not supposed to do that, you know, but.
Yes.
I've been trying to get him on the broadcast. Like I said, he travels all over the world. But if you look at his at his page, he talks about how he plays, you know, for his church when he's at home. And, you know, it's just, I thank the Lord that he allowed us to be enlightened.
Absolutely. Billy, thank you so much for even speaking those words and speaking entrepreneurial, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, in reference to Stephen, because that is what he is. He is an entrepreneur, and he has clients, and they come to him. And so I know he humbly says, you know, I have a little studio, you know, and I'm just this. So I do appreciate you speaking. No, it's not just this, you know. He is an entrepreneur, and he is doing great things, and, you know, and his life is one of greatness. And so I even appreciate you echoing that, and when you refer to what he does as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I appreciate that as well. I really do. I really do. And like I said, it's pretty much, you know, I grew up in a church, and that means a lot to that means different things to different people. But me growing up in the church has been just a walk of one acceptance. Again, just with Be Real Ministries as a lifestyle, it's been acceptance, but really just also not only accepting my own self, but, you know, looking out and exploring, you know, the everyone else's talents, everyone else's their crafts, their arts, you know, who what really makes them, because, you know, there's so much, you know. I think my dad taught me, you know, with church or with religion and relationship, you know, there's a lot of, you know, faces that people put on, but really I think that just with me and my music and just with the ministry, it's allowed me to touch people, actually see the person, you know, see the issues, see what they're going with, see what they're dealing with. And I mean, music is just, I mean, goodness, you know, who can't deny, you know, bobbing your head to a good tune? I mean, it's one of those universal tools that we use as therapy, is you know, it's our muse. But I thank you for, again, yeah, for seeing that and understanding that as well.
Oh, yes, we got. There's a young lady here that actually was at Columbia in Chicago, and
oh,
she got her master's in music therapy. I had never heard of it before. She helped young women and young men, I guess, but mostly young women, you know, with issues in their life through dance. And I'm like, wow, God, you are so awesome. You know, to be able to recognize that that's a ministry. That's a ministry. Anytime you're helping someone, anytime you're causing someone to grow, that's ministry to me. Now, ultimately leading them to God, letting them know, you know, without beating it over their head, but this is what I stand for. You know, that's
yeah.
A testimony in and of itself. You know, as I was talking about Mario, the life that he lived, he was here, and my boys went to you know, Mario is like a son, and he was here, and they went out with he. They met him at this club where he was playing, and the boys were telling me, they said, no, Mario doesn't drink. You know, he was there, but, you know, he wasn't drinking. He was just, you know, laughing and being with the group. And, you know, then after, you know, they played and everybody went home. And I said, that is so admirable, you know, to be, that was taboo. Nate, you know, we could not do that.
Mm-hmm.
in the church. Even still now, some people think of it, how can you do that? But Jesus went to places that they said he wasn't supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, they said you were eating. How could you go to that tax collector's house, you know, and eat with them and drink with them?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just got a text message from someone trying to get into the broadcast, and they mentioned that they pressed 1. So they're listening now, but they want to get in, and they don't know how to get in, Billy. So I don't know if you can tell.
Honey, I can't see that something's happening.
See, I think we're past the time where anyone can come in.
Anymore. Oh, but he said that they pressed 1, so did they just call in?
I'm not sure. I just saw a text message flash across my phone said that they were trying to get in and were not able.
Oh, you don't see any more calls on their bed?
No, I don't.
It's after when the call, once we go past the hour, then it's recorded. So once it starts recording, then we can't get any new calls in. So I'm sorry. I apologize if they're not able to, you know, not able to say something to you. But I am so thankful that you agreed to come on. And as I was listening to your son, I could hear your voice. I could hear your voice, so amen.
Amen.
This is just a blessing, a blessing. David, did you have something to say?
No, just enjoy all that, just catching up with Dr. Granger. It was just a pleasure to hear from you, to hear what God's doing in you and through you, and we just appreciate just how awesome God is in keeping us and just taking us to different places where he uses us very diversely, but still appreciating the foundation and the background that we have. We talked about the old church, and even as you talked about the controversy with the shoes and significantly older, and and you know, been in the Pentecostal church since the day I was born. So I've seen some things I've seen some things that can even trump that. I mean, we talked about the colors of dresses. I mean, you know, don't even put a piece of jewelry on if it wasn't your wedding ring. I mean, just the full gamut of things. But even now, how that we, so many have gone into different places, some still in that very traditional way, and I believe God uses them for the group of people that need that kind of tradition, and then others of us have broadened our horizon so that we are able to be more inclusive of others. Other sheep, as the Bible says, because everybody can't lead, pastor, or even fellowship with them effectively. But God has placed us in different places according to his wisdom. And even as we look at our situation here, you know, nothing like church as we knew it, but in a place that I believe God has led us to, and doors are opening. In about 30 days, we'll be launching a nursing home ministry that I believe will have enough support from the church that we're involved in that it will become a citywide thing. That's the vision that God has given me, that this will become citywide, region-wide, and then who knows from there. But that's how God does. That's how God does. He plants us places for seasons very strategically and then moves us places very strategically according to his wisdom. And we just thank God for that and thank God for you.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you, Elder Burns. I'm so honored to have caught up with you and Billy, and it has truly been a blessing to me. And in reference to your work, God bless you. And I just say to both of you all, just keep doing what you do. Keep on keeping on.
Amen. Amen.
You likewise. Amen. You likewise. Just, you know, we just thrilled to hear, you know, that what God is doing in your life. And, you know, this hasn't been a usual broadcast. And some people may appreciate it and some people may not appreciate it, but we just let God have his way. And we know that someone, somewhere that will listen to this or maybe listening to us over the internet now are going to be inspired by what they've heard today. And that's why we're here. We're here to let people know, you know, of the goodness of God, the love of God, and I think that's been done today.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Amen. So we just want to remind you to listen to New Destiny Ministries every day at the same number, 858-683-1334, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and 2 o'clock Mountain Time, right?
Yes, yes, yes. 2 hours different.
Yeah.
And so that would be 1 o'clock Pacific Time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But listen to New Destiny Ministries and Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and she has some awesome men and women of God to come on and expound the Word of God. And then, of course, listen to They Overcame every Saturday at 5 a.m. Pacific Time. Help me. I'm trying to get Mountain Time in there. So it would be 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Central Time, and 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Eastern Time. Listen to the broadcast. Call in. Give us your testimony. Give us your, you know, prayer request. And if you don't want to get on, some people are a little hesitant about getting on and talking on the radio or being heard by other people. Send your testimonies in, and we'll make sure to read them. That is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. And then, Dr. Granger, give us your information again so that if we have people that are listening that maybe were not able to catch it, but now they're able to have something that they can write with. Give us your information again.
Amen. Be Real Ministries. Please correspond with us by writing to or sending correspondence to P.O. Box 62116, and that's Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962. And I can be reached via web, and that's Dr. Nathaniel Granger Jr.com is my website. And or you could visit us via Facebook at Be Real Ministries.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to ask you, my dear brother, to close us, you know, with the benediction. Elder Beget always taught us, you never leave before the benediction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He did teach us that, and to this day, I am a stickler for that. Let us pray. Gracious and kind Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. But Father, most of all, we thank you for your loving kindness, because it was with loving kindness wherewith you have drawn us.
Yes.
Now, Father, we ask that you will continue to look upon us, continue to bless us. Bless the ministry they overcame. Father, we ask that you will continue to use it for your glory and for your honor. Bless those who are out there listening to this broadcast. Father, we pray that something was said, Lord God, that would inspire, that would uplift, that would draw them to a closer walk with you. Father, we thank you once again for all that you have done. And as we leave this broadcast, Lord God, but certainly not your presence, we ask that you will continue to be with us in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have come to the close of the broadcast. And again, thank you. Please give your wife a big hug for me and let her know that I love her with the love of God. And just thank you again for coming on and sharing with us and, you know, letting us know that God is in Colorado Springs,
yes,
Colorado.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Amen. Amen. Babe, you have to put something, some music on. I don't know what's happening with my computer, but amen. Thank you. Thank you again. And thank you for joining us, listeners. And we'll see you next week.
I just want to